Hi, everybody. Welcome to the containment unit. This is Janine Melnitz. What can I do for you?
Put on your bunny slippers. It's slime for the Ghostbusters Containment Unit podcast with your hosts, Matt and Tom.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Containment Unit. I'm Tom. He's Matt. And together, we are extremely depressed.
That's probably a fair word to explain how I feel at the moment.
How are you, Maddie?
Man, it was a busy week. There was a lot going on from a Ghostbusters autograph collecting standpoint. I know we're going to talk about that, but it was like we just ran a marathon, dude. And it's like we didn't quite finish the way that we'd hoped.
Right. Since that last episode dropped, so much has happened. Okay, so we have a lot to talk about.
Tom, let's talk about it.
You want to talk about
that? Might help us with our healing.
You want to talk about it now and then skip and put the mailbag later?
Whatever it takes, man.
We could talk about it.
I don't even know what I would talk about in the mailbag.
Okay, well, I do.
Okay. Well, then let's do the mailbag.
Actually, here's the mailbag. I got Annie Potts. You got Annie Potts. The autographs weren't great, but we got her. That's the end.
Yours were better than mine.
Yeah,
okay.
That's true.
I mean, let's just be real. She graciously signed black on black for me, which, you know, I really appreciate her thought of putting a black ink in a black spot.
It's weird because I've seen a lot of returns from her and they are really all over the map. Like I've seen paint pens and such, and like mine are pretty good. She used the same blue. It's weird. It's like a blue metallic paint. I don't know that I've ever seen one like it before, but it looks fine. I got the one shot I needed. I really needed this one photo of her, and I got it. And then I had sent a couple others I had on hand as well. So I'm done with her. Yeah, I know you don't believe me, but I'm not sending to her anymore. I've overstayed my welcome in that regard. So
no, I think at this point I've resigned myself to I'll get her when we have our signing with her. And that I promise anybody listening that it's not a hint. That is not a promise. That is a hope. And so
Annie is like number one or two on my personal list of people I would like to do a signing with. And we've tried. The pandemic makes it hard. But we live to fight another day, as they say.
Exactly. And we've talked about this before, I think, maybe privately, not publicly on a podcast. But in case people are trying to figure out the rhyme or reason behind why Tom or myself have signings, it's because we selfishly need them. And so the good thing going for us is that we need Annie Potts on quite a bit. So Just know we're trying, and I need her to re-sign this photo in ink other than black.
Yeah, like people have asked us about William Atherton, and I could get an Atherton signing. That's very doable because it's been discussed in the past, and we just haven't done it because neither of us need him. But that doesn't mean we're not going to do it. It's just we have other stuff going on.
Well, I need them on two items now. So.
Oh, your poster and what?
Another plaque for a storyboard.
Oh. Yeah, actually a ray gun card would be pretty good for him too. Now I think about it.
See, now all of a sudden he's moving up that priority list for us.
This is the problem. Here, you want some inside baseball? Here's the problem. Like, we say, oh, we're going to do a signing. We don't need him. Well, I didn't need Billy Bryan. I didn't need him. And then I got 10 or something like that. It's an illness at this point.
You're sick. We're sick.
Sick in the head. Sick in the head. Yeah. Okay, so mailbag's done. Let's talk about something good first, and then we'll talk about something not as good. Well, arguably.
Okay. But
I really want to talk about Paul Rudd because we talked about it on the last show, and it's literally as soon as I finished editing that show, it was like everything changed. It was nuts. And like, I know people are probably interested because he's like one of the biggest stars in the world. And how did this happen? I'm not going to go into like details because that's not the point of the show, but I'm going to say this.
That's inappropriate, Tom. That's inappropriate. That's intimate talk.
It is,
it's not privy to everybody.
It is. I'm going to say this. You know, Paul Rudd, if he's doing a signing, you know, with Ant-Man or whatever, a Marvel thing or a convention, you know, those run a lot of money and a lot of items, and it's a big deal. And that's not the signing that we had. And so I think that people were a little surprised by it because, you know, typically these things are open-ended. But we had a different avenue for Paul entirely. And it was something that had been talked about in the past. And it was just kind of talked about like, yeah, let's, maybe it'll happen. And then as of like the last show, like I posted a thing in the group and I said, hey, would anybody be interested? Because it looked like it was a maybe at that point. And then by the time we recorded the show, the window had passed and I was like, okay, well, it's dead, basically. However, I edit the show on Thursday night, I think it was, or maybe it was Friday night. It happened. It locked in real quickly.
It came fast.
Unbelievably fast. Like, I had literally less than 12 hours notice between when I got the go and when the orders closed. And it was an extremely limited thing. When I say extremely, I mean extremely. So for those of you who missed out, I'm sorry. I tried to make it as clear as I could. Matt and I went live in the group, and extremely limited means extremely limited. And it sold out in less than a minute. It was crazy.
Yeah, and to be fair, you had multiple people ask about getting multiple items done. And because we wanted to keep it fair, we limited it to one per person. So we tried to make it as fair as possible to accommodate as many people as possible. So,
right.
And Tom, I think you did a good job with that, man.
Yeah, and it was restricted to Ghostbusters items only for a couple of reasons. Number one, that was what Paul agreed to. He agreed to do the signing for a Ghostbusters group. And number two, we are a Ghostbusters group. And we have a lot of members, and we can only accommodate a very, very small percentage of those members. And so, frankly, you're in a Ghostbusters group, that's what we're going to sell is Ghostbusters autographs, right? So I understand people who are mad or upset that they couldn't get Ant-Man or whatever, but that's not the group we're in. Go join a Marvel group if that's what you're after. And even still, like we didn't know how fast those things would sell. Afterlife is untested for us, but obviously Paul Rudd is a big name, and I didn't expect it to sell out that fast. By the time 9 o'clock rolled around, like, we had double the signing capacity in the inbox before 9:01. And so we simply went in order and we capped it, and it was what it was. I don't expect it will ever happen again for us, because, like I said, it was a lightning in a bottle kind of thing, and it was a very specific time and a place, and for us to like pursue an actual like full signing, it's just impossible. There's just no way, because it's like you take Weaver and Moranis and I don't know, second Moranis, and you add them together, and it's still not what Paul Rudd would cost. So it's just nuts.
Yeah, and I think especially if we were to go that route, there's no way we could offer him as cheap as we did. Right. I think we sold him for almost maybe like less than half of what he would go for now.
Right. And, you know, there'll be an update coming soon on that. You know, I was obviously traveling, and then we had the Bill Bryan signing. So updates are coming on that. You know, don't worry. We'll have news on it soon. But it was really cool, and it was awesome to be able to offer that. It certainly made us feel great that he agreed, you know, for our little group here. I wish we could have interviewed him or something. That would have been great, but that just was not in the cards.
I would have fangirled hard, yeah, for Paul Rudd.
Right. But hey, it's cool. And, but it's still hard to, like, we've talked about this Afterlife thing for a while, like you and I, it's like, what is the market for Afterlife before the movie comes out, unless you're talking about Bill or something. And I don't think we still have an accurate idea, because we had such a small number of Paul Rudd slots that it sold out so fast. You know, I wouldn't expect that unless we had another extremely limited one, but that's not our aim. So, Paul Rudd, yeah, good stuff.
Absolutely. That was a big deal. But like you said, Billy Brian, that signing has happened. So and so people can be expecting shipping emails if they haven't already gotten them from you in the very, very soon. But how did that signing go, Tom?
Billy is great. He's a crack up. You know, I went and did the signing. We had a great time. We laughed a lot. I had this hat, this Stay Puft hat that I happened across, and there's only 99 of them in the world. It was a contest giveaway, and I had it for a while, and I felt like it belonged to him, not to me, because he Stay Puft. So I asked if he had one. He didn't. So I gave him that, and he really liked that. And we did the signing. You know, Bill is now, I would say he's on the friends and family list. So, you know, we talked about doing this, you know, again, annually or something. He's a great guy. He's hilarious. I'm going to go to his art show this weekend, so we can talk about that next week on the show. He has an art show in Long Beach. So I'm going to go out there and that'll be fun. Yeah, I've been a little lazy since I got back, but I've sent most people their pictures. Sorry, Yip, they're coming soon. I hope to start shipping soon. One thing about Bill that's kind of fun is that he loves to embellish things. And so, like, he would ask me about a specific image. He'd be like, whose is that? And then he would doodle something on it, or he'd write something funny, like just if it struck him. And I said, Bill, if anything strikes you, don't ask, just do it, because people love that stuff. You know, he wrote on one of my photos, he wrote, "What did you do, Ray?" Which was just kind of fun. Like, you know, he's also very smart. He's an artist. There's a picture in the group, and it's pretty funny. And I called it out because it's like, own it, right? There's a picture where it's clearly labeled red paint, but he's using a blue paint in the photo. And somebody laughed at it, and so I was like, all right, let's just own it. But here's the thing, and I don't know if this is the case with all red paint pens or whatever, but the red paint pens that we have, like, they don't show up very well on a dark background. They show up great on anything, but if it's anything else, but if it's a dark background, it just looks really dark. And Bill explained this to me because he didn't want to sign with it. He said, well, there's not enough of a white base in the red paint. Like, blue has a white base, but the red doesn't, and so that's why it's so dark. And from an artistic perspective, I was like, hey, that makes a lot of sense. And so we swapped out the red on a couple items just because he didn't feel comfortable, because he wanted everybody to have their item signed nicely and get their money's worth. You know, there's a Stay Puft that we did, and that's signed in red and it looks fantastic, but just a couple he wasn't comfortable with, and that's fine. You know, we do our best to honor every request. But sometimes it just doesn't.
And I always appreciate it when the signer takes their time and uses great concern to make sure that we get the best pieces possible. So definitely appreciate that about Bill.
Yeah. It happened on another one. There was it was a black and white shot, and it was like really, it was lightly colored because it's black and white, and they'd wanted silver, and Bill's like, well, it's going to wash out. And I was like, yeah, you're right. And so we went with a blue deco on it. It looks tremendous, and the person was very happy with it. You know, it's awesome that we're getting that artistic perspective. You know, just making sure it's all good stuff. But I got a lot of Bill Bryan items back here sitting in my office, and they'll be on the way soon. The projects, I've stopped emailing those photos to people because I'm posting them in the group. So if you're listening to this and you haven't seen your project and you are on one of the projects, take a look in the group. I posted a picture of the Stay Puffs and the Boss Films where they're at currently, which is two signatures. And they're all signed exactly the same. Bill loves to sign, you know, for anyone who hasn't met Bill, or if you're going to in the future, he loves to sign on Stay Puffs bib. That's his spot that he loves to sign. So if there's an opportunity for him to sign on Stay Puffs bib, he's going to sign on Stay Puffs bib. So on our Stay Puft projects, that's where he signed, was on Stay Puft bib.
Well, I love the story you told me too, where Bill is so proud that he is Stay Puft that he insists on signing Stay Puft. So if you are ever worried about your item getting a character name, chances are it's there and we didn't even have to ask for it.
Yeah, he loves that. He takes a lot of pride, as he should, in being Stay Puft. And so he'll write Stay Puft on everything, because I said, oh, Bill, because the Boss Film projects, they're signed very small. And I said, don't worry, you don't have to write Stay Puft on those because it's so small. And he's like, nope, I'm Stay Puffed. I'm writing. And I was like, all right, that's awesome. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Have you decided what piece of art you're going to pick up from the art show yet? Have you thought that through?
If it's there, yeah, I know what I'm going to get. I mean, who knows? It happened last week too, so it could have been sold. But I'm going to go in and I'm going to see what's there, and I'm going to make a decision on the spot because he has a couple I really like, and one of them is, I guess I don't say more practical, but I like it for something that's not possible for me at the moment. Like it would be awesome in a theater room, like a home theater room.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
I know that I'm excited about the idea of possibly owning a piece of his art. And I think it's, I don't know if cute is the right word, but that he signs all his art paintings, William Bryan. So if you're looking to get a William Bryan signature, then you need to buy a piece of art, which I have to say, I'm pretty shocked. I don't mean that in a bad way, but I was impressed with how great of an artist he is. Like he's done some paintings of himself, some self-portraits. He's done portraits of other guys that are well known in the visual effects industry, like Kirk Thatcher, and it's spot on. Like it's really great stuff. And so I really appreciate what he does.
Yeah. We talked about his process a little bit. He's very passionate about it, and I'm not going to speak for him or tell his stories, but he did tell me a little bit about how he comes up with his compositions and stuff. And it was very methodical and I really like the, I guess the personal history and the DNA that he puts into each piece. It's super cool and it's super thoughtful. And he is a man of many, many talents. That's for sure. He's got a band. He's got an effects career. He's a painter. He's a character.
Yeah. You know? Jack of all trades. And master of several, so definitely a talented guy. Well, while we're giving updates, Tom, let me just quickly go on with Eldo and Laura. So Eldo signed everything, and everything came out great, but it's sitting in my house, and I am in the process of, I'm waiting on some shipping materials to come in. And so anybody who's ordered Eldo, by the time you listen to this, you've probably already received an email from me about shipping. The stuff that you have asked to go to Tom is with Tom, and I'll get it out in the next week. Laura, she's had the stuff for a little while. We've had some back and forth. She's going to open it up and sign it hopefully in the next week. So trust me, it's happening. And when we have more updates, you will know. Our goal is to let you know that people sign as soon as we possibly can. So you don't have to worry. You don't have to stress. So don't stress. Once we have it, you will know. You don't have to message me or Tom.
You don't have
to email us. We will let you know when the signing happens.
If you email us and ask us constantly, you're going to be the last to hear about your item being signed, just so you know, because that irritates us. So what do we have left?
We got a new logo. That's exciting.
Oh, yeah. We got a new logo.
From Baducci. I think that's how you say it.
Yeah. That came out of nowhere. Like, I was we were in different rooms, and you texted me, and you're like, did you see this?
This was after our meetup, which, by the way, was a great time. And we got home from Disney Springs, having a nice dinner at Planet Hollywood, seeing the Winston Zeddemore flight suit with our new friend, Bobby Love.
Love Bobby Love.
Shout out Bobby Love. And we get home, we're laying in bed, we're about to go to, it's probably midnight Eastern Standard Time. And we get a message and it just says, a gift for you. And it's a new take on our logo, and I'm absolutely in love with it.
When Matt sent it to me, I honestly thought that somebody had ripped us off. And you were like, did you see this? And I was pissed. and then I read it and I was like, oh. And he's the guy who does all of YHS, all of their logos. Which, by the way, we are a fully licensed representative of the YHS Podcast Network.
I give my love to Jake Walsh. Come on, man. You're my dude.
He's your
we always give Craig a shout out. Why not share the love?
You're, Okay, well, Abby, I'm going to give my love to Abby. Craig, don't.
Sorry, Craig. Don't. Maybe next week. Maybe next week.
No, Craig this week. Fuck that guy. Just kidding. I'm going to leave that in. The Fuck Craig Goldberg podcast with Matt and Tom. I'm kidding. I love Craig. He's a dear friend. Where were we talking about? Oh, so this
we're talking
logo.
About the logo.
Yeah, it was a gift. And it's tremendous. I won it's it on the, everything, including my
I know,
body.
It's the background of my phone. I may or may not have ordered stickers, and we may or may not be looking into patches. There's just so much.
But
who knows?
You should send me some stickers when and if you order them. We should also upload that to our t-shirt vendor.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah. It's just so fantastic. It's because like Ghostbusters logos, the Mooglies are typically pretty simple. This is like 3D looking, like it's badass. We don't deserve a logo this good.
No, we really don't. Like, I almost feel like we're a legitimate podcast.
Almost. It's now the cover art. So if you guys want to see this, if you're listening to it on your phone, just like tap your screen and you're going to see what the logo is that we're talking about. I updated it already. I couldn't wait. I had to do it.
Yes. So a big shout out and thank you to Brendan Pierce, Baducci Studios. You did a fantastic job. And I didn't think I could love our logo any more than we did, but you showed me this one and my mind is blown. So I'm greatly, greatly appreciative.
And we are honored and touched that you would go out of your way to do that for us unsolicited. Because I asked Craig, I was like, did you do this? Did you put him up to this? And he did not. This cat just did it to be a nice guy. And that's
He's not a peck. He's not a peck.
Not a peck. He's the opposite of peck. Be a Pierce, not a peck. That's our new
there
logo.
You go. Pierce, there you peck. Go.
Yeah. I hope he listens to this. He must. He must have heard us at least once, right?
Yeah, he knows we exist, and that's really all that matters.
That's good. He's our one listener.
So that's the good news, Tom.
That's all the good stuff. That brings us to the bad stuff. I don't even know where to begin. I was telling
you. No, but you know, bad is too strong of a word, Tom.
It is, but look, I told Craig that this week, like, I've been dragging my feet on shipping stuff. I've just been tired and deflated all week, and it could be multiple things, you know? It could have been the super spreader event that we were at for 2 days in Florida.
Welcome to Florida.
It could just be like, I don't know. Could be that the Murricane gives zero fucks. Can I call this episode The Murricane Gives Zero Fucks?
If that's what you want to call it,
but
Tom.
It would have to be F*KS. I don't feel like cutting the fucks out this week, so I might not.
No, you're in a sassy mood right now, and I'm okay with letting those stand. We're just going to have an explicit label this week in that.
And we don't have an interview, so nobody's going to be associated with our potty mouth.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. No, I mean,
do you want to drop an F-bomb before we go any further, just to like let it out?
No, I'm good. I'm good. But it wasn't all bad. Like, I know you've met him before, but this is my first time. And so I was trying to drink it in as much as possible.
Well, that's why. Anyway, well let's tell. You had the interaction. What happened?
We'll just talk about it, Tom.
All right, you take us away.
So Thursday night, for those of you who don't know, annually, Bill Murray and his brothers host the Murray Brothers Caddyshack Golf Charity Golf Tournament in St. Augustine. So Tom's been following the event for a while, and we decide that we were going to participate. We're going to get plugged in and get involved. So that's what we did. It was Thursday and Friday of last week. So Thursday we ride out there, and it was kind of fun.
Oh, you're going to start there. I was going to start with like, I was going to go back in time to the other thing that happened.
Where?
Well, we sponsored this hole in 2019. The tournament was delayed in 2020, and now it's 2021.
You're starting Sunday.
And I get an email. Like, I don't get a response from them, but I email them and I say, is this happening? A couple weeks ago, and they, or I guess about a month ago, and they said, yeah, it's happening. These are the dates. And so I bought my plane ticket. And then Matt on Sunday, for some reason, happens to look at their website that says, hey, we're delayed. We're not happening this year. Well, friends, if you look at their website, that's what it says. That ain't true because it happened. And I had a meltdown / panic attack. And I emailed them and I was like, what's going on? And they said, oh no, it's happening, but it's just sold out.
You talk about confusing, and like at that point, we're rethinking life. Tom, are you coming? If you come, are we going to this tournament? Are we going to go to Gatorland? Or are we doing multiple days at Universal? Or like, are we going to NASA? Are we going to Kennedy Space Center? Like, what are we going to do, Tom? That's where we were. We didn't think this was happening.
We didn't. And they got back with me and they were like, no, yeah, it's happening. And so we were like, all right. But, you know, communication has been lacking. You know, the thing that really bummed me out the most, I think, is we sponsored a hole on the green, and we paid money to do that. And as a result, we get access to the parties and we get to go on the green and stuff. Well, because of COVID, they weren't allowing spectators at the tournament. So we didn't actually get to watch any of the golf. We also didn't get to see our hole, which, you know, doesn't seem like the biggest problem, but like our logo is on it and our title and all that, which
at least
been,
in theory, we don't know.
Be, but we don't know if it actually was. Matt, you hypothesized that they didn't like the Ghostbuster logo. And so they didn't, whatever, but,
or the autograph connection, because apparently, yeah, spoiler alert, Bill does not like to sign autographs.
He does not. But, you know, it would have been nice to see that. They certainly didn't treat us poorly or anything. I mean, they gave us all the swag, which I think I'm going to give some of that away in the group. But, like the Bacardi shirt. The official pool shirt of the Murray Brothers Golf Tournament, the Bacardi t-shirt. But, yeah, I mean, for all intents and purposes, when we got there, everything was fine, despite our concern and our reservations.
Well, if we're backing up that far, it's also just fun to note that, and we've talked about it on the podcast, that they had some pretty strict COVID policies. And you can't tell, but I'm using air quotes here for COVID policies. And so there was some back and forth between us and the tournament about what does that require. So if you have vaccinations, do you have to show anything? If you don't, do you have? And so for me, I had to get COVID tested to prove that I didn't have it. So I go on Tuesday before and I get nasal swabbed multiple times. I have tears down my eyes, pouring down my face because my brain was tickled with this wooden stick. And good news is I tested negative, which I knew because I have the antibodies. I've had COVID, as some of you know. But then we get to the event. And Tom, did they ask to see any of that COVID stuff?
As it turns out, the Murray Brother Golf Tournament decided to just go with the honor system.
That's it. Did at any point were we asked to wear a mask?
At any point was anyone wearing a mask, including the Murray Brothers?
Who, you know, they're not young bucks anymore.
The staff at the restaurant. They were.
That's true. And like half the people at registration wore one too. So that was also another thing that caused or created a little bit of stress, but then ended up being a non-issue.
I didn't even think about it because I'm vaccinated, but I didn't even think about it. Like we weren't wearing the masks. And like, again, everybody was, you had to be tested or vaccinated. And then until you said the word, hey, it's like we're at a super spreader event as a joke, I wasn't stressed. But when you said that, I had all the stress because I had a weekend beyond the tournament that I could not be in knocking on death's door.
I felt like one of my offhand jokes single-handedly ruined your night.
You wouldn't be wrong. It put the fear of God in me. The fear of Gozer, if you will. And, whew. But hey.
But you're fine. You made it through your weekend. You're good. Hey, we're good. Those ended up being okay.
Those Philly cheesesteak egg rolls made up for it.
That's true. So Thursday night, we check in. We go through that whole process. Thursday night is the pairings party, which really, I don't know what that means. Outside of the fact they had live music, They had a band playing the whole time. They had the Murray Brothers Caddyshack restaurant catered dinner. They had a silent auction going on, followed up with a live auction. And we get there. We got our stuff. We're ready to roll. And the only Murray we see at first is Joel Murray. And if you don't know who that is, I get it. I get it.
Shots fired.
I mean, unless you watch
Mad Men.
His show. Yeah, Mad Men. He was in there. But
yeah, he was
working the crowd. And he came to be seen. He was wearing the green suit, the William Murray golf suit. He was glad handing a lot of people, very accessible. And then you and I are sitting there eating our Philly cheesesteak egg rolls on the Bill Lookout.
Yeah. We definitely see, here's the thing. I guess you want to call it street graphing or whatever. Being an autograph collector at an event, you know, depending on what the event is, you know, sometimes you're pretty, it's hard to be casual. Like we had to bring in bags, like satchels, you know, because we had our photos.
And playing nobody it
else
cool.
Had, yeah, but we yeah. played it cool, but nobody else had them. And, nope. and we're both tall guys, and so we kind of stood out like a sore thumb. But we were playing it cool. We hung back, and we enjoyed our
We were food probably some of the youngest guys there, too.
We were also youngest by probably 10 years, I would say. Maybe there's a couple other young guys, but... the girls, too. The Chive guy was there. What's his name? Riesig? You know, he was there.
John.
And his entourage, his harem of beautiful women, they were probably younger too. But yeah, it was it was hard, and we were looking for, you know, because Joel Murray, he's about the last person on earth you'd want an autograph from, but he's super friendly.
Somebody bid on it in the silent auction.
Yeah, that's true. But come on, they bid on everything. So we were looking for Bill and Brian Doyle Murray specifically,
which. Eagle Eye Tom over here spotted him not quite a mile away, but it was a decent amount far away. And he's tucked kind of around a corner.
It was the hat.
And you see him, and you know that it was him. Yeah. And so this whole time we're wrestling with, we've got to keep our eye out for the Murrays, but we're also looking, we're trying to keep our eye on the silent auction. Because I bid on a piece, you bid on a piece. There were actually some pretty nice pieces in there. I know you were really excited about the Ghostbusters Afterlife poster.
Yeah.
There was an art print of many of Bill's characters signed by Bill that was actually started out really low at $250. And so I put in a decent bid and quickly got outbid to an area that I would not feel comfortable paying.
I was high bid on that Afterlife poster for a while, despite
the whole night, dude.
Yeah. It was a piece of crap. I think it's the European version of the poster where it had the title on it. Number one. Number two, he signed it in a red Sharpie at the bottom. And it just
in the wheat field. If you guys know the poster with the Ecto, it's signed in the wheat field down at the bottom.
And it's very hard to see the autograph. When I first saw it, I was like, is it even signed? It took me a minute to notice it. And it had a starting bid of, I think it was 700, but like I was the high bidder for, and I went higher than I, once
you did,
once
I convinced you, Tom, bid. I did not do you any favors.
And there was a moment in the night, which we'll talk about, where it became quite clear, the writing was on the wall, that the only way we're going to leave with a Bill Murray autograph was if we spent a lot of money to buy one at the auction. And so at that point I was like, well, I want him on Afterlife and this is probably the only one that exists. But then after the live auction, it's just like everybody swarmed the silent thing and all the prices went nuts. I stopped looking at the Afterlife poster at $1,500. I was like, I can't even look at it anymore. Because it's not worth $1,500. I don't know what it sold for, but...
Granted, it was a nice piece. It was framed. We theorized that it could be on a backing board, which would diminish the value of it a little bit. But it was a really nice piece. Definitely not worth $1,500.
Right. And it looked like it was original, but every other poster they had there from his other movies was one of those trash prints that like Prizeo offers. Like they're awful quality. Well, actually Lost in Translation was pretty good, but I think that the poster's grainy, but I think that the poster's just grainy. That's how it was originally made. But
can I just say, though, that for at least seeing the poster, and we posted pictures in our Facebook group. If you're not part of our Facebook group, please make sure you look up the GB Containment Unit on Facebook and join. We just eclipsed 1,000 members. That's a big deal. And we've got a giveaway we're working on to celebrate that. But anyhow, when I saw the poster, we know that Bill's in the movie. Mm-hmm. But it just made it seem more real. Like, it made me excited because now it feels real that Bill might actually seriously for real be in a third Ghostbusters film.
Well, he is, though.
I know, but it just...
Did you not read the Entertainment Weekly article?
No, I get that, Tom. But we've been talking about this movie for a long time, and it keeps getting delayed. It keeps getting delayed. And so it's like, I don't know. It's maybe not real. And this made it feel real. Yeah.
I suppose.
So it was cool to see that. And the live auction, there was many items. And in fact, I regret. I'll talk about a regret at this point in the night, because the night's not over yet. But when we registered, they had a silent auction going on. And some of the stuff had a buy it now option. I regret sleeping on that Space Jam jersey. A little bit.
Yeah.
It was a decent price. It was signed nice. But anyhow, I was hoping for bigger and better things. And that didn't happen. So the night goes on. And we get to the live auction. At this point, you and I, we kind of get a nice spot in the tent where it's happening. Joel Murray gets on stage, and then he invites out the brothers, of which is one William Murray.
Yeah.
And my heart fluttered a little bit. I got excited at that moment.
I felt nothing, but I'm old. And
Are you dead inside?
I'm pretty dead inside. Yes. But I've also, I've been in his presence before. And so it didn't, like, it was cool. I appreciated seeing him and all that. But, like, the night had a weird vibe before that. And it only got weirder. And,
yeah. And so for people who are wondering, before the event and during the event, the friends and family of the event, they were not, outside of Joel Murray and that dude from Twin Peaks, no one else was really walking around. Like, they were not accessible. There was a VIP room that was heavily secured with some massive dudes.
Bill had sheriffs.
And sheriffs, yeah.
Everywhere around. And that's not an exaggeration. They were sheriffs. And you said it the best way that I could not have articulated this as good as you did, Maddie, but you said it was like a family reunion. And I think so. Like, everybody there who does this tournament, who sponsors it and who plays in it, they've been doing it for 20 years for the most part. And we were kind of like, it felt a little bit like we were party crashers, even though we had every right to be there. You know, we sponsored it. Yeah, we were going with the intention of trying to get autographs, which we're probably the only people who have ever tried that. But it felt a little like that because it's such a tight-knit group. Like, you know, when you saw the Murray brothers walking around or some of the other celebrities who were there walking around, nobody approached them. Nobody bothered them. Nobody interrupted them. They were just, they let them do their thing as if they were a normal person, which I get.
And they are.
And they are. And but it doesn't make it conducive to what we hoped to do.
Yeah. And so, yeah, it was like a family reunion that you could pay a lot of money to be present at, but not involved in. So, anyhow, like the you did not see Bill outside of the little bit that he was on stage. And that was true for almost all the brothers minus Joel. And even after that night, Joel was pretty inaccessible. So we're sitting there, we're watching, we see that Bill's on stage, and so we move closer to the stage. We're kind of off to the side, but we're watching. And then all of a sudden, and Bill's up there flashing a ghost trap that he signed from the first film. And, you know, there are other items that he was doing his best Vanna White to show off and build hype. And Joel was doing a great job of getting people drunk and getting them to spend money. And a lot of money was raised for charity. So kudos to them for that. That's really exciting. But you and I see Joel shouts out somebody in the crowd. I have no clue who it was. I don't remember. I didn't know the name. I didn't recognize any of them. And all of a sudden, Bill gets really excited. He walks off stage into the crowd and goes up to this guy. And so at this point, we're like, it's our chance. It's our chance. And so we get our stuff ready. We get our photos out. You got your gold pen ready. There's another woman who she's kind of standing off to our side a little bit. And she's, I don't know if it was her boyfriend, it could have been her dad. I don't know. The age didn't seem to line up well, but, and she's like,
they're millionaires.
Yeah.
Daddy. The age that
no
matter.
And so she's like, "Ooh, I want to get a selfie. I want to get a selfie." And I'm like, okay. So hopefully this girl will get Bill's attention. We'll be right next to her. I thought we were in the prime zone. And it was, like you said, it was pretty incredible that Bill walks out into this crowd. And while he does have a sheriff with him, no one is hounding him. There were a couple of people asking to take pictures, but there were people that he knew.
Yeah. And they were over, you know, Bill was probably 20 feet away from us, 25 feet away from us, and he was chatting. Like, we did not approach him over there. Like, we were just waiting on the sidewalk to the stage, off to the side, like, hoping that he would walk back to the stage, and as he was walking back to the stage, we would get him there. We're never in a million years going to walk up to somebody and interrupt their conversation or their meal. That's not it. We would just hang back.
And I don't want Bill to get pissy with me. Like, I don't want to upset the guy, you know? So I know that he kind of walks closer to us and he starts talking to a gentleman and the girl asks him for a selfie. He said, no, not right now. And you had thought maybe I would say something to him. And this is my first time, like, I'm within feet of Bill Murray. Mm-hmm. And I'm not an outgoing guy. And I'm new to I'm not a big in-person grapher. And so I was maybe waiting for you to take the lead a little bit. You were looking at me to take the lead a little bit. And we didn't say anything at that moment. And it was pretty quick. Then he goes back out into the crowd. And then we kind of follow him a little bit. And then he starts making his way back to the stage. And at this point, I don't know where you were.
I was a little further back.
And so, yeah, he kind of took a weird angle back in, and I don't know if you got caught in the crowd, but I am shoulder to shoulder with Bill Murray. And I have my photo out. It's signed by Dan. It's signed by Harold. I've got it out.
I watched this from like 15 feet away because you had walked one way and I'd walked another to kind of get closer to Bill. And he cut in such a way where he cut basically in front of you. And so I was on my way back. And I was like, oh, Matt's going to get him, and I'm going to get right up there in time. That was my play. And then time slowed down, and I saw this happen.
And I say, and I'm walking with Bill. And keep in mind, he does not look at me. Does not acknowledge my existence at all. So I'm walking along, so I'm going to say, hey, Bill, can you sign this photo? I will give you money for charity. And he speeds up his pace a little bit and he just says something along, that's what everybody says, and just bolts back off into a secured area and disappears for a little bit. I think he was super mad that I asked. Maybe I'm overthinking it. But then after a few minutes, he gets back on stage. I think he went back, got a drink, and then to calm his frustrations that someone asked for his autograph.
I think he was also very pissed, yes.
And then got on stage.
I have to wonder, like...
And let me just say, Tom, I was not bluffing. Like, Tom can tell you, I strategically, and I'm not a baller, I am far from it, but I had sold a lot of stuff and saved for a long time so that I could have several $100 bills in my wallet so that if the moment came and he took me, I was ready to flash cash. Mm-hmm. But it didn't happen.
Yeah, and I don't, you know, in the moment, you know, we talked about, do we lead with the charity thing? Do we lead with, like, hey, Bill, I'm a fan? Like, what do we lead with? We talked about it, but it's like, in the moment, you don't really have the time to decide. We hadn't really landed, and so I find myself wondering, like, I don't think it would have made a difference either way, but
I
wonder if the charity thing pissed him off more or less.
You know, but I guess my thinking was, and it's funny how it's a split second, but you can have a million thoughts, because I was trying to think through, what do I say? Mm-hmm. And I landed with the charity thing, one, because I had money saved ready to offer almost any amount that he had said within reason. But I'm also like, he's not going to sign for free while literally at that same moment, his brother is on stage auctioning off items that he signed for thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking each of those ghost traps, there are five of them. They sold for $5,000 a piece. And that was one of the cheaper items that was auctioned off that night.
Yeah.
So I didn't think he'd sign for free.
No. When he shot down the woman for the selfie, that was when I was out, because I knew at that point that it wasn't going to happen, that this was not the event where he's going to be doing that.
And that became clear and kind of set the tone for the rest of the night. Now, at that point, you know, we're able to watch Bill and watch the auction, and we kind of just enjoy the last little bit. And to be fair, I was not devastated. Like, I know you had a pretty bad interaction with him when you met him the last time for the concert. I didn't feel like it was there. And maybe because I didn't expect he would actually say yes. I figured I was going to get denied. So I wasn't mad. He wasn't nasty. He didn't acknowledge me. He didn't look at me. And he just wrote me off. It's like, yeah, everybody says that, which I'm sure that a lot of people do.
I guess, but I was hoping that, you know, that, because that was a very Bill Murray style interaction, rejection. And that's how many people who've asked him for his autograph get treated. And I guess I had hoped that at his own event, this private event that we paid a lot of money to get into, you can't be there if you didn't pay a lot of money, that he would be different about it. Like, they talk, like on the website, they talk about, oh, our famous friends walking around the golf courses with signed scripts and stuff, and they're auctioning off signed stuff. So I figured, like, well, I didn't figure, but I'd hoped that he'd be more open to it. And I, for years, I had tried to find someone who had gone, or someone who would go and try Bill there, and I couldn't. And so the only way to find out if this was a viable option or not was to go. And so we took that shot. And as it turns out, it's not the vibe that's conducive to that. And it's a bummer, because we did spend a lot of money to go.
Yeah.
We had a good time, and we have an experience that nobody really has. And we had the same experience that everybody there had. Like, we didn't have a worse experience than anybody else, you know? We got the same entertainment and the food and the drinks and all that. And so, did we get our money's worth? Yeah, probably. But did we get what we had hoped for? No. But
yeah, I will say that on Thursday night, I was... So here's my thing. And I don't know, I get so stressed at stuff like this, because in some weird part of me, I'm like, I'm going to say the right thing, and Bill and I, we're going to become buddies. We're going to become good friends, and we're going to hang out. I just want, Bill's going to love me. I want Bill to like me. And so, like, that's the stupid things that are up in my head. So I'm like, I don't want to say anything that's going to upset him, because I want him to really love me. So I'm stressed. I'm stressing out, but I'm just proud of myself, the personal victory of actually asking for an autograph and putting myself out there. But I was, you know, at the end of the day, I was declined. And so you and I, we went to Bucky's, we reevaluated life and reevaluated our game plan going into Friday. Because Friday was the day of golf.
Yeah.
That ended with a party and a concert.
Yeah.
And so we had hoped that Bill would be there for that as well.
Yeah. And he was.
He was.
But here's the thing. And he was there, and he was a lot more present than he was at the auction. Like, he came down and he was dancing and singing. But again, he's dancing and he's singing with a sheriff, and somebody walked up to him again and asked for a selfie. It might have been the same woman. I don't even know. And he said, no, I'm listening to the music. And he was just having a good time at his own event. And I didn't want to approach him. And I didn't want to interrupt him, because number one, he wouldn't have done it if we had. And number two, it's rude. He's having a good time. And that's, you know, you can't imagine there's a lot of places where he could go and and cut loose like that, and nobody was approaching him. Like, you had people walk by and pat him on the back or whatever, but they were letting him do his thing, and so...
And honestly, even those who tapped him, he didn't acknowledge they existed right. either.
And so I wasn't going to approach him. At that point, I when I saw him out there having a good time, I was like, look, just this guy's having a good time. I'm done. And I didn't pull anything. We left our stuff in the car. We had it just in case, like if he started signing a ton, but
we decided we're going to evaluate the vibe and see if things felt any different or more open or more loose. And they didn't really. But we had said, if what we'll do, we'll go in, we'll just enjoy as Ghostbusters fans to be in the presence of Bill Murray. Like that's awesome. And so as a fan, I really appreciated that. This is a guy that I've watched his movies since I was a kid. And then you have the myth and the legend that he is that adds to the whole thing. And so just to be able to see him was great. And so we just decided, we're just going to enjoy being here and watching Bill, watching his brothers, maybe get a selfie if the opportunity presents itself, but it didn't really. But what was cool is we were within 6 feet of Bill while he's rocking out at this concert.
Yeah.
And he wasn't in the VIP area. Surprisingly, he was among us common folk. Mm-hmm. But he was just doing his thing. And then when he went back, we just decided to call it a night. It had been a long day. We walked all over St. Augustine. We got more than 10,000 steps. And, we decided to call it a night.
Yeah, we'd already made our peace. Like, we weren't going to go to the after party. Because, number one, he wasn't going to show up to that after party based on where it was. You know, the fact that he's not mingling. This was at a way smaller venue. Like, he wasn't going to show up there. Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. But we didn't think he was going to show up, and it was very, very late, and I had a pretty early flight in the morning, so we weren't going to do that. We did leave the concert before it ended. I think we made it halfway through the concert. I have a little bit of regret there because, again, Bill was out there dancing and whatnot, and then he left, and then we kind of left. He ended up getting up on stage later on in the evening, which would have been fun to see. But how do you know that's going to happen? You know, you can't predict those things, and...
I think for me, I had no interest in watching a concert.
Yeah,
I just wanted to watch Bill. And so when he went away, there was nothing there. I mean, the band that we left, it was Brothers Osborne, which maybe if you're a country music fan, that's a big deal. I didn't know who they were. I was kind of disappointed it wasn't Blues Traveler. For some reason in my head, that's who I was hoping it would be. And
the music wasn't our thing.
No. And it was hot.
It was a little awkward. Like, we were just kind of hanging around, listening to music we don't like at an event. Like, neither of Matt or I are big partiers, you know? So we're more introverted probably. And it was just, I don't know. It was the same thing for a second night. It was 2 days of the same thing. And we did approach Brian Doyle Murray. Was it that night?
That was the night before, where I almost had a run-in with my childhood crush.
Yeah, yeah, you.
Melissa Joan Hart.
We got ignored by Brian Doyle Murray, and his little buddy told us to take a hike, basically. And then you almost had a moment with Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
Yep, I wish that I would have gotten a selfie or something with her, but she was with her. Probably the way the night was going, I definitely couldn't put myself up for another rejection. And she was with her husband, I'm guessing, which was a big dude. So I'm like,
I ain't
I ain't trying to do nothing here.
Yeah. You know, and that's kind of long and short of it, but I mean,
we came, we saw, and he kicked our ass.
Yeah. It would take a lot to get me to go again.
See,
you have a differing opinion.
This is where we're different. Yeah. I also recognize that it costs a lot more for you to come. Like, I don't know what your airline tickets cost. I spent like $100 and change in gas, you know, so it's not terrible.
I bought my plane ticket like 3 weeks before the event, and we'll just leave it at that.
So, you know, I know that there was more at stake for you, but I would be open to trying a different angle.
Yeah, but there are other angles that we have discussed. I don't know that any of them would offer different results. You know, any other higher level of sponsorship, like we could play in the tournament, but then you're spending even more money to be there. And I don't know. I kind of wonder if the golf course itself would have been the hit. And we talked about that before, about how that was probably a good shot. We were going to hang out on the golf course all day. And that was taken from us. We weren't able to do that. We were not allowed on the green. And so I wonder, had we been able to go on the green, if we would have maybe had that opportunity that we didn't have. Because
see, I'm not optimistic that it would have done anything.
I don't think so with Bill Murray. Maybe Brian. But like, if the parties where they cut loose and stuff, you know, wouldn't maybe the tournament's more like businessy? I don't know. I agree with you, but you know, I'm always gonna wonder if it would have been different.
Hey, we can always try next year.
We either pay the same amount of money we did this year and have the same experience, or we pay a lot more money and probably have the same experience. So, you know, it's hard to be a Ghostbusters collector when the star of the movie detests your collecting hobby.
Well, we don't have an interview this week, Tom.
No.
So what do we do with ourselves?
We tell everybody, don't be a Peck, be a Pierce. Have a week, a better week than we had last week. And go out there and do good things. And keep on busting.
Because busting makes me feel good.
You said it, Father.
Are you troubled by autograph forgeries online? Do you collect spores, molds, and Ghostbusters memorabilia? Have you or your family been looking for a safe place to go to add to your collection? If the answer is yes, then don't wait another minute. Check out the Containment Unit on Facebook, Instagram, or visit us at ghostbustersautographs.com.